What's the most frequent question people ask you?
At these live events, like the one I'm doing in Lawrence, almost always the first or second question is about the music in the show.
Really?
Well, partly because it comes after an hour of people watching me on stage perform pieces from the show where they watch me cueing the music live. So basically they're watching me with a mixing console, and as I'm talking, I'm cueing in music and bringing it up and pulling it out. And so they're very, very aware of the music. I think more aware than I think they end up thinking about it way more and its presence way more than they would if we were just on the radio.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's the most...
And the other question that I get asked most often is where do we get the stories? And then frankly, like at some point, like I realized, like, oh, I need to make part of this speech about where I get the stories. If every single question and answer session includes a question on where do we get the stories, I guess it's really... I really am not addressing the actual thing people are curious about. So now I have a whole section of the talk where I talk about that.
That's the number one kind of rookie question, I think, is where do you get your ideas from, whether you're talking to a musician or whatever, you know what I mean?
I know. But honestly, like, I feel like it's one of those questions that although it's the number one rookie question, like, it's the number one question because it's actually, like, you really want to know. And sometimes, like, hearing how people, like, come up with their ideas, especially people who are really, really, you know, just fantastically inventive, is sort of inspiring. Like I got a chance to talk to Malcolm Gladwell a couple years ago, and I'm always... really, really curious about where in the world does he get the ideas for his stories. Like one of his most famous stories is the story 7 Degrees of Lois Weisberg, and it's about this one lady in Chicago who basically he claims that, like, this sort of grandmother who you've never heard of is basically the reason that the city works. And she's sort of an aide to Mayor Daley, and she's this and that, but basically she's like a super connector. She's a social super connector, where she just knows everyone from different stratas of the city. And so for all sorts of things to get done, like, people get into a conversation with her and she's like constantly connecting people. You should know this person, you should know this person. And he wrote this really beautiful article years ago for the New Yorker that then was one of the articles that was in his first book, but in The Tipping Point. And it's just a really beautiful and inventive piece of reporting. And you just think, and it's a piece of reporting about the idea of who do you know? Like how many people do you know? Which is such a weird subject. And you just think, like, well, how did you get onto that? And the way he got onto it, he told me, was that he thought that the least covered group in the media by journalism was middle-aged women. And he just thought, like, I want to do some stories about middle-aged women. And then just started poking around. It's just like...
Wow.
Yeah. He said that this is a group that's just invisible. They seem pretty interesting. They seem like pretty good talkers. Like, let me figure out some stories. I know, right? Like, that's crazy. And then I got a chance. One of my favorite pieces of nonfiction recently is the Michael Lewis book, The Blind Side. And I've given it to probably a dozen people, and it got made into this movie that I'm sort of scared to see because it seems like it's going to be really sacred. Though I know it's an insane super hit, the movie The Blind Side.
Yeah.
But the book is really like one of the best pieces of nonfiction writing I've ever read, and it's just like one of the most joyous, like the scenes that he witnesses. It's shocking that a reporter was there to witness, and I assume that he had people tell him the story of what had happened, and then I got a chance to ask him about it in an email, and he was saying no, he was actually there for a lot of it, a shocking amount of it. And then at some point he reveals that in the afterword to the book, he reveals that he knows that couple that's the star of the book, and that's how he got the story. He just was talking to him at dinner one night, and they started telling him the story. He's like, oh, this is a pretty good story. I know that I've just gone on now for 4 minutes that you can't possibly use, because even as I'm being the interviewee in this interview, I'm also very aware of the fact that you have to write an article, and now I'm also being you, the reporter, and so I know that I'm just, like, going on and on. I'll shut up now.